Don't get caught up into this my God's bigger than your God thing, or my God's the only God, and and don't worship the little g gods either that are in between. Make your own personal connection. Greetings, everybody. We're going to have a real short intro here. We've got 107, and we had quite a talk and earlier, and we're going to see if we can get some of that. I know we're going to have two or three more shows after this, but we really touched on some a lot of areas. So if you don't know 107, you haven't been paying attention. Google it. So anyway, on that note, we're going to go ahead and kick it off.
Lauea with the
Yeah.
volcano.
Yeah, it's
So,
going on really bad. A lot of fog in the air right now.
I haven't even heard from anybody. How is the volcano doing down there right now? I knew it had gone off about a month ago.
Yeah, it's going off big time right now.
Is it?
Yeah,
Well, I might have
it
to.
started up again. I told people with that, the massive coronal hole aiming towards the Earth, that it was going to erupt again, even bigger. And sure enough, it did.
And you're talking about the what's going on the sun right now.
Yeah, it I've God, since 40 years ago, I was talking about how the solar flares and CMAs, they create changes in society. They create severe weather. They create an increase in earthquake and volcanic activity, and the dynamics of that. And then other people took it and started using it in their programs and stuff, which was interesting. But
Well, let me ask you this. And of course, James, this is the first show you and I have done together. I hope we do some other ones too. I have an audience that is, I think, far more sophisticated than most audiences. It's a pretty wide range of personalities and perception of the world around them. Myself, the things that I enjoy talking about and that are important to me are biblically based, scripturally based. I'm a Christian. I believe that God took on flesh, like we put on a coat, and then
Yeah.
dwelt among us to come and pay a price or something that had that we define as sin, some departure from perfection and holiness and goodness that occurred within the human race and back in the garden, and that only God himself could step in the gap and reconcile this problem. We being damaged couldn't be made perfect again by our own actions or any other outside forces action, that it took God himself stepping into our world and then providing that option. But if he forced it on us, then it wouldn't be free decision. It'd be like a computer operator controlling the outcome in some way. And God doesn't need automatons. He desires that we choose to be with him, like him, to enjoy the perfection of a world according to his will. And so, but it has to be a choice. So he provided us with that option by his own interaction into our world. That said, there's the things that you're observing, and for anybody that's listening that's not familiar with what James is looking at, you're seeing actions and interactions in our physical world and also in this kind of ethereal spiritual world. And that's what your life's work is really all about, is mapping and tracking these interactions and trying to understand or interpret, define what these entities are, these beings are, these observations are, and make sense of it, that for most of the world, the term I think that we would have to apply to it would be some type of extraterrestrial interaction, intervention potentially, manifestations that there's some crossroads or nexus of terms that, say, from a spiritual side, we're seeing them as demons, angels, or from most people, I would say in the much of the natural world, they would say it's aliens, it's reptilians, it's other forms of life, physicality, and spiritual, but that is alien to Earth itself, interacting with us. And so I think there's some conversation that as a Christian, we can't just blow it off as silliness or in a Hollywood sense or something like that. And there's much reality to it, which you can attest to from your own observations, interactions. So I think it's actually a fun, important conversation. And actually, the reason I want my audience to kind of listen, I do an engagement like this from a really kind of a collegial standpoint. I think you and I are very much, alike in some of our thoughts and observations and interests. We might use some different terms or words in some places, but we're both very fascinated with this ethereal goings on and even the impact into the politics out across the planet and this crucial moment that we're in. So and there's a lot of very real, everybody can go look at it, whether you're talking to coronal mass ejection and things going on in the sun and the physical things happening in the world around us as a result of it in a very physical sense. Just like right now, this is the foggiest, or as we call it here in the islands, volcanic mist that I've seen that I can remember in many, many years. I'm looking out here and like, for example, there's a cruise ship here in town today here in Kona. And every time I've been up here and people go back and look at other videos that I've done from up here, and the cruise ships and all of town are very crystal clear. Today, that is not crystal clear. That looks foggy, but here we call it vlog or vog. So did I say the way that you how we think is that define it well for people?
Yeah, similar. I have a real strong foundation in Christ and as well, which turns some people off talking about that. To me, when I had my near-death experiences and everything else, everybody else were spooks to me. I didn't want to talk to them. I wanted to talk to Jesus or Mary or one of the main people that we all know about. And that was how I began my journey. And then I went through the Teachings of the Inner Christ Ministries and all of that. And I went through the Tibetan Foundation and I talked to elders from all nations. And it was like a lifelong quest, 40 years intensely, in studying with all the different cultures. And I started seeing the common threads, the truths, like the universal law that is within all cultures, and then they got distorted as well, because of other experiences. So I mean, that's where I'm coming from. I always measure everything against that. Is that does this empower the individual to make their own personal connection with God, Creator, Yeshua, or Jesus, whatever name you want to give them, or does this is this aligned with the universal law, which is, universal peace, brother, sister, love, individual freedom and prosperity for everyone, or is this self-serving? Is this creating an external God or the see me, dig me program that's going on so much, or is this a big distraction? So that's what I have my foundation because of my near-death experiences. I went through the tunnel everybody talks about, and hung out with this just pure, unconditionally loving, joyous, blissful energy. I can't even explain it. It wasn't even physical. It was just pure consciousness and energy, and it was overwhelming. And then that's where and then I'm coming down the vibrational continuum, experiencing all the other things and trying to make sense out of them. But that's kind of where I'm coming from.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, a lot of the terms that you use to many Christians, they almost come across as New Age-ish.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things you and I talked about off the air, and I appreciate you taking a few minutes with me before we started, but you know, one of my favorite, and I've written about this a number of times, but one of my favorite episodes of Star Trek, the episode was actually shot as part of a pilot and then later incorporated into the series sometime later as an actual episode, is Menagerie. And in
Exactly.
Menagerie, there is a race that becomes this place that we're not supposed to journey to. We can't go there because they have the ability to manipulate your mind so completely that you could think you're eating an ice cream cone and you're licking on a hot coal. You're crashing your spaceship into the sun, thinking you're, you know, going to another galaxy or something. And so they can manipulate your mind to see and believe things that are not true. And therefore, you can't function, you know, individually, because everything you think is your reality is there. Imprint on your reality. They can make you see and do and act in certain ways based on illusions and trickery, mind games. And so, you know, within even your own experience, with, for me, Christ is a reference, and God putting on human flesh like we put on a coat and then walking amongst us, and this Messiah side. There's lots of religions in the world, but they don't purport to have God come in to step in the way for them. They have gods that come in and manage and control them, little g gods. And so within your experience, you know, I'm thinking of what's his name that would give the readings for health purposes?
Edgar Casey.
Edgar Casey. Edgar Casey was kind of slow-witted as a kid. He admits it, and others around him admit it. Yet he was with one of the great pastors at the time, and he had had an experience where he fell off a fence post. Where he was sitting, hit, landed on his head and hurt himself severely. But after that, strange things started to happen. And so, for example, he could put a book underneath his head when he went to sleep at night, wake up in the morning, and you could open it to any page in the book, huge, thick medical books, things like that, and ask him about the second paragraph on page 326. And he could quote it to you verbatim. He'd never cracked the book open. It was just that he could get it in his mind. So this defies logic in a physical world. And then he considered this a gift from God. Today we would say in many church experiences that this was somehow alien to Christianity. And yet, when you get right back into it, visions and dreams of future events and outcomes, is that just the mind itself doing very intricate calculations and coming to a result as to what was going to happen at some future point or an idea? Or was that some kind of divine download, be it God himself or angelic messengers of God, bringing something and putting it into the mind or heart of a man. You know, Daniel, an
Yeah.
angel coming from the future, walking across time like we walk across the street, and telling Daniel that he came from the end times, where he was a direct personal witness. And then he testified to Daniel as a witness to the end times events, what was going to happen with the children of Abraham, of which Daniel was one, but Daniel had been castrated. He was never going to have his own children. What was going to happen to his race? He's a slave in Babylon. And yet this messenger comes across time and tells him exactly what's going to happen in the future. And then he complains or states that he had had to fight an angel, which was in Daniel's future, the angel over Persia. Persia didn't even exist yet. On his way to Daniel, and this angelic being fought two angels fighting, and then a third angel had to show up and relieve the angel that was fighting with the angel of Persia, and then continue to Daniel to give him this message about what was going to happen in the future. When you think about that story, it's so disconnected from the reality that most people live in, their life day to day. And yet it's right there in the scriptures. Very, these are wild, crazy ideas and encounters. So, I have to step back from some of what we understand and believe. I have certain anchors that are critical. And of course, as you said, you have a personal relationship with Christ. But you must have had to go through a lot of gymnastics, mental gymnastics, in trying to reconcile some of the things that you're seeing, encountering, observing, while trying to reconcile that with your Christian beliefs. Am I saying it right? Is that what happened with you?
We have a saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent. And so people really need to be discerning. And Jesus said, by their fruits you should know them. So, and you look at people, if they're stepping outside of universal law, and again, we talked about, it's basically universal peace, brother, sister, love, individual freedom and prosperity for everyone. Or just being kind and loving to each other and the planet. Basically, if their works do not fit into that category, right away you got to use discernment and cut that connection or stop dealing with these peoples. But the problem is there's a lot of faker spirits out there that come in, and some will say they're Jesus, or some will say they're some God or God, little g God from the past, or things like that. And they'll tell you, you're the chosen one, and you're this, and you're that. And they play on your ego. And then pretty soon, before you know it, everything you do is you're not even doing it anymore. These other beings are working through you. And everything's about you. You become self-serving, you become really egotistical, and it's a very slippery slope. And you've got to use like impeccable integrity and, be morally on track, and things like that, or you'll fall off the deep end there. And they prey on your ego, and they'll use money and fame and things like that to get you to do their bidding. And very few people can and will not fall for that. I mean, these beings are very tricky. They're very good at what they do. And I don't want to sound like a Bible thumper or whatever else, but it's in there. It's in the Bible. It's in all the sacred books. They talk about these entities and these beings and how to avoid them. And they even teach you techniques in some cases on how to heal these unseen negative influences and shield yourself and move them on and keep yourself aligned with the highest consciousness and energy, or that pure unconditional love and joy and bliss. And so that's where I've come. I've experienced so much of it. I mean, I'm not trying to toot my horn or whatever, but I've seen the deepest, darkest entities to the top, to the highest, most benevolent, loving, joyous entities. And in between.
Well, let me stop you for a second. Let me ask you a quick question. You know, Christ was asked by one of the people that was, you know, a keeper of the law and like that, a Pharisee, and they were trying to trick him into some kind of an answer. But I don't think this question was a trick question exactly. It was a sincere question, and this person who knew all of the law, knew all of the rules as a Pharisee, you know, 613 different things that you must, you know, follow to be a Pharisee, et cetera, as within that realm of Judaism. And he asked Christ, he said, of the law and the commandments, what is the most important one, you know, as far as God and heaven? And Christ didn't point out one of the Ten Commandments. He didn't point out one of the Pharisaic laws. He said, to love one another as you yourself would be loved. And so he encapsulated all of the rest of it. So if you were going to say there's a universal laws or law, you were kind of saying that same thing, even in what you said. And of course, you know, people get caught up in every single word, you know, of what it would have been, say, in Greek or Hebrew. And yet, even here in the English language, I have dozens of different Bibles, if you will, interpretations of the same original text, where they've tried to use different words that may have been more relevant in the different time periods, like liberty or libertine. Meant something completely different 200 years ago than what it does today, in most cases, because the language has morphed, or the interpretations and meanings within the culture have morphed. So words do mean things, and but in different times that could have morphed within people's understanding. And so that's why even in talking with you, kind of working through the meaning of the words you're using, to see where we're actually in agreement. We might just be speaking slightly different language, but ultimately, when you get to the definition of the words, we're actually saying the same things. And then knowing if we do disagree on something, that we actually do have a difference of opinion, and why, as opposed to just, you know, we're using a word, and I think of this word meaning this thing, and you think of this word meaning that thing. You know, a good example of it's called semantics is, if I see a newspaper headline, Air Force defeats Army in an air war, and you think, oh my gosh, you know, it's the conflict over in Ukraine, and the air force of one country is just destroying the ground force of the other country. But the reality is, it was the Air Force Army football game, and it was a passing war. And so they were passing the ball a bunch. Well, there's context, there's different things. But if you go into the conversation, and let me just say this, you know, so I have a beautiful audience that I get the blessing to be able to even interact with, that over this last many years, that in large measure have their people that are spiritual, they have faith. There may be different, you know, core faiths in their Protestant, Catholic, Jew, and even a large number of Muslims. But at the point that I start the conversation, they're starting with a certain basic understanding of who God in heaven is, the Father. And so we can agree on certain key points right off the bat. And then as we get into kind of some of these side trails and minutiae, well, this group believes this and that group believes that. We have the same core belief, but now we got to do some discussion, and even have, it's very productive, if you will, sometimes to have some of those discussions. Other times in the broader war, I got to come back to the core principle. Love one another, as you yourself would be loved and operate accordingly. And some of these issues are like fish bones
Yeah.
that they're really not useful to me in the short term. If I throw them in the ground, let them rot for, a couple of years and grind them up, the plants can digest them. The various microbes can digest them and turn them into something useful, but it's going to take some time. And so within even what you're doing, this is why I think it's fun to have the conversation with you. There's things going on in this world that we should be talking about and that we should be understanding. There's some kind of a hidden influence there in the way our world is working from a couple different directions that if we want to go deeper, it's not wasted time. It's not wasted conversation because it's affecting how our world works. Let me use an example and tell me if you think that I'm right on this. Over the last few days, because of stuff that my wife is doing related to parasites and the various biology around them, including the bacteria that live on the parasite skin. I'll use an example. I had a young kid that I was helping out decades and decades ago, and he had a physical problem where he couldn't breathe if he got exert himself too much. This young boy, 7, 8, 9 years old. And so if he exerted himself much at all, just walking up the stairs, he'd be out of breath, and he had an inhaler, and he would have to breathe on that inhaler. And he kept it on him all the time because if he couldn't breathe, not being able to breathe, that's one of those things that, it's as scary as of an experience as you can possibly have. You're literally suffocating, gasping for that next breath. So, I recognized it pretty instantly as being a parasitic thing, in the lungs, which is where they're the most vulnerable. Where he'd been living had a lot of cats. He liked cats, but the cats tend to have contact and carry a lot of parasites. And birds are the same way, even more so. And so I had him checked for parasites, and they in fact did find that there was parasites present. Very few doctors do this. I had to go find one that this was their specialty. And sure enough, he just was loaded with parasites. So he took measures to eliminate the parasites. In a few months, he stopped carrying his inhaler. He never had a problem again the rest of his life. He'd been told over and over he'd never be able to do sports. He'd never be able to be heavily active. He'd always have to adjust to it. And he always had three or four inhalers, and he'd have inhalers hidden. Even when you thought he only had one left, he always had hidden stuff that he knew he could go grab if he had to. And that's, it went from that to never even thinking of an inhaler. I just talked to him the other day. He hasn't bought an inhaler since those days. He's never again needed an inhaler or felt the need for it. And once he knew what was going on, he's adjusted his diet and been very sensitive to these things in his environment. So now I come back to the body politic of, say, America and other countries, as well as even, let's say, into the church or other functions of us as humanity. His life was changed by a parasitic presence in his lungs. And everything he did was different because of that. Are we as a people subject to some kind of parasites? Look at all the positions that Trump is eliminating in the federal government. Look at all of the jobs and roles, and they're all parasitic, as though they're here to help us, but they're not helping. They're draining energy and they're boring holes into places in the body politic of the country and the world that, left alone, they're doing permanent damage. So in the things that you're seeing, you're doing, are you actually seeing real entities that most people aren't considering? And you're seeing some of these entities or presences that may very well be parasitic on the people of the earth, the functions of the earth that are changing the way that we work and operate. And most people aren't even aware of it. And yet they're present. And you're, from a young age, having seen their interactions and been tracking it even up till now, and they're real entities, spirits, you know, some more physical than others. Am I saying something that fits with what you're seeing?
Yeah, 100%. Well, on a physical level, I don't know if you can't, you probably can't see it. This bottle I'm drinking right now is super oxygenated water. It actually has crystallized oxygen in it, and you almost don't even need to breathe when you drink it. But it goes after any virus or bacteria or even any kind of contaminant, and it breaks it down to a crystalline form. It becomes food for your body. So you might want to look. It's Langenberg oxygenated water.
Where's that? Show it to me again. I do. I can see yours.
I don't think you can see it.
I can. Yep. I saw it there. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the red label. It's the medical grade. But I would really look into that, because that's counteracting a lot of the things we're getting hit with right now. So
I do the blue label, and I call it medical grade.
Yeah. Yeah. Do that. Bless it. Yeah. It's funny, the analogy you're using is very true. We all have these, I call them hitchhikers. A lot of people don't even know it. And they have parasites, like physical parasites in them. They also have spiritual parasites. And if you go into a bar or something, they're waiting. These beings are waiting there to jump on you and get you to take that extra drink and that other. There is a monkey on your back, but it's not necessarily a monkey. It's a discarnate spirit trying to get its hit vicariously through you. And so they do wreak havoc in your life. They can make you sick, ill, create a lot of accidents. They put thoughts in your head. And I tell people, not all the thoughts that are coming to you are yours, because these other beings are influencing you constantly. You know, that because we have a body, a physical body, a mental and emotional body, and a spiritual body. And actually, we're a multidimensional being existing on a vibrational continuum. So I'm kind of talking about high physics right now, because I have a real strong science background too. But there's beings that exist along that vibrational continuum, and we're multidimensional beings, and we're influenced by these beings, either good or bad. And so what we really teach people is how to sense these energies, how to clear these energies, and how to stay on the foundation that we were talking about earlier. Like, you know, I think Jesus was saying, love God with all your heart and, you know, treat your neighbor like yourself. There's a lot of different renditions of that. You know, that's a basic foundation. And when you get out of that and you start, you know, and your old wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions from past experience start surfacing, you start acting outside of universal law, and you create karma, or action, reaction. So our focus is to clear that body, mind, and spirit, and get people plugged in to the highest consciousness and energy, and kind of clear out these unseen negative influences that people are dealing with. And some of them can be seen, but you got to use a microscope, and some of them can be seen if you use like infrared or you use technology that can see into these other dimensions. You actually see these beings connected to people. And so,
you know, let me just say something. You know, there was a person that I dealt with years ago, and he, you know, was addicted to alcohol.
Yeah.
And even the it was the taste, it was other things. And I would even say that this was somebody that had a military history, and he didn't get that until he had been in a bit, and he would say developed this taste for it. But when you actually looked at what happened, I don't think that you, it's far off that he may very well have actually had a physical addiction based on some kind of parasitic bloom that happened within his body. You know, when you have a sugar craving, if you have certain parasites in your system, you'll have a sugar craving. And so, in that case, you know, and there's thousands of different parasites that are out there in the world. So, you know, saying you don't know, well, you know, if they're present, they can affect the way that you think and react, even your gut reaction to certain circumstances. His gut reaction was alcohol to get his nerves under control. And he would say that it was to keep his nerves calm. But he switched from alcohol and went into drugs, and he described something to me that I thought was very interesting. He remembers the moment that he was in like a alcohol thing, and he was laying on a floor in a corner, and in the place where he was at, and he looked up in the upper corner of the wall. And it was like his eyesight shifted slightly. And all of a sudden, he could see an entity in the corner of this room he was in the wall. And he described it pretty precisely. And he said it was like leprechaunish, but it was green and it had kind of a demon look to it. And there was some conversational exchange of a second or two. And he literally said, okay. And this entity jumped on him. And from that point forward, he recognized that entity as being the monkey on his shoulder, if you will, that literally was conversing with him. And his actions were tuned to that, even to introducing him to other drugs. And he had to be physically delivered or exorcised of that entity. That he had literally gotten into a conversational relationship with over time and had to be delivered of that demon. And that demon was really living on him like a parasite. To me, that would be the only way of kind of interpreting that. And he made it seem very, very, very tangible and real and visual. Whereas most people that might have a demonic presence that's attached to them or even entered into them, you know, they wouldn't necessarily describe having seen it. He saw it that one time and he never saw it again, but he knew it was present. And and to me, I would describe that just like we have physical parasites, are these spiritual parasites, but they have a physical, they change our physiology by their presence, if you will, or they get us to adjust our physiology to favor their presence. If your will, your personal will is diminished, and his was because he was under this alcohol influence, then his normal restraints against an entity attaching to him would have normally kicked in and kept that entity and probably were in place to keep that entity from attaching to him. And it obviously had to probably be around waiting for the right moment of weakness, the right moment where an interaction would give him some kind of legal right to attach to him. You know, okay, as simple as that might sound, did he give the devil or one of his minions legal access to his physical body?
Obviously did. The way I kind of look at that, I mean, I can use the biblical terms or other terms more scientifically, that the we live in a vibrational continuum of multiple planes and dimensions, and everything is happening at once around us. And some of us are just aware of what's happening in the physical world, or we'll have our emotions and thoughts and beliefs in the world, but there's worlds within worlds going on all around us, and those are influencing us. And so a lot of times when people are very sick or very ill, their frequency goes way down, and they start connecting into these other worlds. Like if you're doing meth or a lot of these drugs open the doors to this. Even some of the plant medicine, if you don't know what you're doing, you can open the door to have these entities jump in, and then they own you basically. Some people
Well,
are.
would another way of saying that be that when you, for example, people that are vegan or vegetarian, they don't want animal products that they eat directly. They also don't want animal products that are used in the digestive processes for fertilizers, for example, because they don't want that DNA in their physical body. And it goes, I've explained to people, that the DNA actually has a resonance. Every person's DNA, based on the way that the DNA is constructed, they're like little tuning forks. And what is shown typically in these generated pictures as a DNA strand looks like a ladder with a long twisting form. It's actually more of a Y shape. And it's, acts like a tuning fork. And so each one of those four-part DNA segments acts like a little tuning fork. And so you have trillions of them in a DNA strand that create their own unique note that is you. And so your body is literally making music. Now, if you introduce, even as a product to be digested by your system and the energy from it absorbed into your physical body, it does affect the note. It can act like, I played trombone and trumpet as a kid, and we had mutes that you could stuff into the end of the horn to muffle the sound. And there were different types of mutes that would give it more of a bass sound or more of a treble sound. And so there was different kinds of mutes that were available. Even the same instrument, but where you're changing the valves or the slide to hit a slightly different note, but it's still a trombone or a trumpet or a French horn or something like that. If other DNA is introduced into your physical body, does it change the note somewhat? If entities or demons are attaching to you, is it changing or muffling your natural note of your physical body? Are they attaching to the DNA strands in your body in such a way that they're choking off a note or the music that your body would normally do? And in the aggregate, in some large measure. And so, are we aware of that? Are we operating accordingly? You are the food you eat at some level. Does that click with you?
It's to me, I feel you want to eat really close to nature, as close as you can. Now, I tried to do vegan for a long time and it just didn't work for me. I think it might be my body type or whatever. And I've heard a lot of that. Like I grow almost all my own food. Every place I go becomes a food bank, and I eat mainly off the land. But I think we transmute a lot of that. To me, it's just kind of fuel. There's a lot of stories I can go into where even the llamas eat meat, the Native Americans eat meat, and we can't say they're unspiritual or unawake because they don't eat meat, or because they eat meat. I mean, but there's a lot of I mean, that's a whole show in itself,
Oh
but.
yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, the to me, it's like, bless your food for one thing. Give thanks to the creator, give thanks to the people who prepared it, and whatever you're eating, and it's real important to do that. But the I just try not to be a Nazi, a food Nazi or anything in anything, and kind of take the middle path. But the
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I want to go back into that body politics. I mean, we're going to have to do a whole nother show about this, but our body politics is also infected, like you were saying, by these same energies. And some people are really infected by parasites, you might say, which lowers their frequency down so these other energies can come in. They've been affected by wounds and traumas from past experience, childhood experiences. And there's a lot of different reasons why their frequencies were dropped down to where these other entities can come in. And what we're seeing right now in the Great Awakening is a multidimensional experience going on where from the pure physical level all the way up through the dimensions is being cleaned up, all the way back to God, Creator, Great Spirit, whatever name you want to give it. And it's like that higher consciousness and energy is pressing in on the earth, and everything is being revealed. Everything is being seen. Like, Jesus said, like, all the iniquities would be shouted from the rooftops and no rock will be left unturned. We're going through that process right now. And it's because a higher consciousness and energy is raising the frequencies, and the lower consciousness and energy can't function anymore. It's on a downward spiral of evolution. So we have that choice right now. Are we going to take the upward spiral? Or are we going to take the downward spiral? And we're seeing a parting, like the wheat being separated from the chaff right now. And you can actually explain it scientifically or spiritually, either way. But it's obvious it's happening right now, and we're on the upward spiral, and nobody can stop what's coming. It's if people knew the magnitude of what's behind this, most people couldn't handle it.
Well, do you think that some of that, and I'll lose 9/10 of our audience, but we'll try to explain in a moment. Do you think that fits into the Yuga cycle? Is that something that you've looked at ever
Yeah,
with?
I have. I've looked at those cycles. There's a major planetary alignment right now coming in. The sun is going ballistic. All of this is happening at once. It's not just one thing. And I just look at it as higher consciousness and energy in, garbage out. It's kind of like, yeah, I like to keep things really simple, but it's all about we have to raise our frequencies because the earth itself is ascending. And if we don't match the frequency as she's going forward, we're not going to be around. We're going to lose our bodies
Well,
and our kingdom and
let me
everything.
define this for some of the listeners who have never heard this before. The Yuga cycle is in some of the Eastern religions, they see time periods for humanity where you have half of the period or whatever, a little less than half, is what they would describe as copper or brass, and where the humanity, in its broad terms, is not as sophisticated, smart, technical, that brain function somehow is lessened societally for humanity, and so we're not very productive, we're not very creative. Then you'll have a less period of time, but what's a silver age. And as I recall, it's like, maybe a third of the amount of time that in these cycles, this long cycles, like a multi-thousand year cycle. And then you'll have a golden age that is relatively short, 1,000 years or something, and that we operate at a much higher level, that thought patterns, construction, mentally, we are hyper supercharged, okay? And this golden age of creativity and genius and love and interaction. The longer lower cycle is more bestial. And so if you were to translate that into, say, the DNA, there's something going on in the physics. And of course, I talk about it from time to time, the subatomic physics, the subatomic matter, the dark matter that you don't see physically yet exists, below the Planck length, if you will. We can't directly observe it or manipulate it because our tools are too big and clumsy. But it's interesting, you look out across space, the universe, and depending on who you're listening to, 98, 99% of the density, we don't see it's dark matter, and we're only seeing a very tiny fraction, physically of what's out there, or even able to measure it, etc. And with this yuga cycle, some of the better authors, I think, on this have identified that it used to be thought it was just a rarity that stars would have a binary or a trinary partner. In other words, where they're orbiting each other, we have planets that orbit our sun as the center of their orbital plane. But our sun, we believe, in certain circles, and I think it's accurate, has a dark partner that you don't see. It doesn't give off light for various reasons that's readily detectable. And that binary partner is out there. It's affecting the way that our sun moves and is going through our galaxy. They're literally orbiting each other, and as they go in and out, they're kind of going back and forth. They don't come into each other and collide. They're in this combined orbit that it's kind of an oblong orbit, and so they
Yeah.
move closer to each other and further away. Now, the reason that's important, and you can go look up binary star systems and kind of see how they work. The reason that's important is because when they're coming together physically, especially in the subatomic physical plane, the communications of information energy in the subatomic plane, which is near instantaneous, many, 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 many times the speed of light, it's not infinitely faster. There is a speed limit there, but just like there's a speed of light, there's a speed of communication within that dark matter, but it's way, way, way faster. And so things appear at a distance to happen almost instantaneously. For example, just to give people a kind of a picture, if you're looking with the right kind of a device, if we look for the light from a nearby star, and I did this myself with some folks one time just to demonstrate it. We were looking at a star that's 50 light years out. So we're looking optically. Now, if I look using the other physics, I don't see the star there. Using the other physics, that energy is moving 64 times the speed of light. In this area of our galaxy, so approximately that. So at 50 light years away, it takes 50 years for light from that star to reach the Earth. But in 50 years, the star and our solar system, our sun system, have moved significantly. So I don't see any dark energy, if you will. But if I anticipate, well, over the last 50 years, it's moved from here to here. Now, if I go look there, where would that star be physically right now? Even though I'm seeing the light from 50 years ago. And if I look there, now I see very clearly a dark matter image or pattern of energy at that exact location. And so now I go to us with the body politic. As much of what's going on in the world right now, we're operating based on what we see physically at light speed. But within, say, the spiritual world, this denser reality, remember the subatomic world is orders and orders and orders and orders and orders of magnitude more dense than the physical world. So, for example, if I had just one cup of dark matter, just one coffee cup of dark matter, this cup right here, If I had that cup and it was just dark matter, which by the way, it is, it's full of dark matter. That cup is full of dark matter. Okay. But you have to have a way of accessing it. It's very low energy individually, but if you know how to tap it, it's extremely high energy. That cup,
Yeah,
if it
universe.
was, if I was to tap it for all the energy that's available to it, all the BTUs of energy encapsulated, if I knew how to extract the energy there, I could take all the water in all the oceans on planet Earth, and with the energy in this one cup, I could reach boiling and boil them all off to vapor. All the oceans on the entire planet with just one cup of dark matter. That's how dense. Think, you know, if I had a cup of gasoline
Yeah.
and make a big poof, but it wouldn't boil all the water in the oceans. It might only barely boil a gallon of water. But
Yeah.
yet there's enough potential energy in that cup, if it's in a dark matter plane, to boil all the water off the whole Earth. Well, if I have spirits or entities that operate in that realm, and they have some fractional way to tap some of that energy, the effects that they can have into the physical world are pretty amazing, be they demons or angels.
Yeah.
And so then I turn around and I say, okay, how much of what we're dealing with right now is kind of like that? We don't fully grasp the energies in play, even to God Himself, the divine. The God that can control energy at that level, and we barely can contemplate and understand how he does it just in this physical realm, which is very foamy, it's very thin, and he does it in other dimensions and with, as you said, a vibrational energy or resonances, which, by the way, is what Tesla. The way he saw it with the 369 math as opposed to a base 10, base 9, and starting to understand the way things work, the underlying systems that support everything that we visually see in the visual wavelengths, light wavelengths. You know, understanding that there's more there is maybe the start of it.
I think we're gone over, hopefully not, but we're right at the edge of being out of time here, unfortunately. And
Oh.
I think we could do a 10-hour show and cover all of this, really easy. But we're gonna have to sign off. So is there one major message that you'd like to leave humanity right now?
For all that we see physically going on in the politics around the globe, this exact second, God reigns supreme. There is. I look forward to talking with you more on
We
some of
definitely
these things.
have to do it again. Yeah, we're out of time, unfortunately. We only have an hour show, so we always leave with telling everybody just keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and stick to the basics, and you'll get through these times. And I can't thank you enough, Juan, for coming on the show, and we'll definitely go deeper into this stuff. There's a lot of areas I wanted to cover that we didn't get in.
James, it was a great introduction. I hope your audience enjoyed it and kind of rambled a bit.